This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after 11 o'clock. Welcome back into the whole show powered by Chevron. Joining me now, Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight. Benjamin, I apologize. My producer called you on Monday. He thought Thursday was or Friday was Monday and Monday was Friday. That's 100% his fault, man, and he should be ashamed.
Well, look, and here I was thinking that we were such great friends, he just wanted to talk more to me now and just let down and disappointed. Although, to be fair to your producer, I confuse Friday and Mondays after taking a few gummies, too.
That's 100% what's going on back there, isn't it, Michael? I was wondering why you were screwing up so much, man.
Well, I don't do that because of FCC regulations, of course.
Oh, yeah, yeah, sure, right.
Benjamin, I have no problems admitting to doing it.
Benjamin, you know, on a kind of a serious note, I've been listening to you guys too, not just for the Broncos coverage, but you were you wear a lot of different hats over there. And obviously, when we get the evergreen situation, the assassination of Charlie Kirk, I know you put kind of a more of a news hat on that, man. What I just got to ask, because I don't, we will talk about it, but I'm not going to give any insight that anybody's going to seek out as far as the news side of things. What is that like, you know, kind of making that switch from Broncos, Broncos sports, sports Broncos to really heavy stuff?
It's different, man. It's sort of fascinating, and it's while it's heavy, it's something I guess I'm sort of glad that I get to do. Because for me, in that moment, in those heavier moments, you know, we're live on the air, and I have the ability to pivot to that conversation, open up the phone lines and put callers on, and in my mind, do sort of a community strengthening or community building as we sort of talk through things in a country that has largely become divided over the last decade, two decades, I don't know. And so, you know, for me, it's a bit cathartic in a way, even though that there's so much, you know, so much evil and so much wrong out there in the world, it gives us all an opportunity to sit there and just kind of let the anger out for a minute and recognize that, you know, in politics, we may have a political opponent, but an opponent is not an enemy. And that's the thing I think we need to refocus on in this country and ratcheting down the rhetoric and the inflammatory rhetoric out there and get back to being like, hey, at the end of the day, we all want the best America possible for everybody. We may disagree on how to get there, but that's what we want, and so we should be focused on that.
Yeah, well said, and great work by you and your team throughout the course of the week, man. Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country Tonight, and that's what this program is. It's a sports talk show, and who better to talk some Broncos with us than you, my friend? Are you slightly worried about this Colts team that just went and absolutely stomped Miami, or do you look at it and go, Miami might be bad this year?
I went with the latter one there. You know, with all due respect to Mike McDaniel, I've known for years, the Denver native. You know, that Miami team, I think, is just, honestly, it's just really bad. I mean, they had a players-only meeting after week one, and, you know, you don't do that when things are going well. You do that when there's holes in the boat. So, you know, the Colts team, I think, is going to be better than people think. Shane Steichen's a good coach. I've known Shane for years. He's a good coach, and I think they're going to be a little better than people think. But I'm not worried about this. I think that the Colts just caught a bad Miami team and punched him in the mouth to start the season.
Well, you mentioned Shane Steichen, too. So far, you know, obviously, what is he, in his third season with the Colts? And, you know, off to a great start, but made a very interesting decision. Obviously, what he saw in training camp was it wasn't Anthony Richardson. It was going to be Daniel Jones at quarterback. So one game in, Daniel Jones is making Mr. Steichen look pretty damn good at this point.
Yeah, and you know, I'll let y'all in on a little secret. Daniel Jones was their guy the entire time. They kind of hoped that, you know, that maybe Anthony Richardson would take a leap forward, but Daniel Jones was really their guy the entire time they brought him in, and he's really validated that in week one. Jones is not a perfect quarterback. He's flawed. He's got some issues. Fumbles the ball a little bit, and you know, he misses some things sometimes. But you know, he's better than people think he is. You know, simply because he played behind that Giants offensive line that was so bad for so many years.
We got a taste of what that Giants line looked like in week one, as Russell Wilson couldn't do anything against the Washington Commanders in week one. So, you know, I think people are going to be pleasantly surprised, in Indy with Daniel Jones kind of being a steadying hand. But if you're looking for him to put a team on his back and carry him, I don't think he's necessarily that guy.
So you do think, though, that wasn't just like a one-time thing. You think maybe Daniel Jones turns out to be kind of like a Baker Mayfield type guy, get into a completely different environment and then starts to look much better?
Well, the latter part of that. I hesitate to invoke Baker simply because I think Baker's a much more talented quarterback than Daniel Jones. Baker was and nearly led the league. Did lead the league in passing or nearly led the league in passing last year. Is capable of throwing for 5,000 yards and 35, 40 touchdowns. I don't know that Daniel Jones is that. Jones's arm is not as strong as Baker Mayfield's. Jones is more mobile. He's a better athlete. And I think that's one of the things that gives his game a little bit of life, is people don't realize how athletic he is. We have all these tropes out here all the time, but he's one of those people that you would call sneaky fast. Yes, I'm saying he's white, but it's funny because I used to get that when I played back in high school. I'd be like, oh, Brady's sneaky fast. I'm like, no, bro, I'm just fast. Like, there's nothing sneaky about it. I'm pretty loud. But Daniel's a better athlete, I think, than people think, and that helps out in that Shane Steichen offense. You know, if you go back and watch what he did when he had Jalen Hurts there, they like to run the football. They use the quarterback and the running back in a read option game, and then, they'll hit the receivers when you suck up on that and the tight end. And, that's really what he wants to be able to do with Daniel Jones.
And he's got some good weapons there. Obviously, Jonathan Taylor, Michael Pittman Jr., Tyler Warren. This was the guy I was really hoping the Broncos somehow could find a way to get up and get Tyler Warren. I'm not saying I'm unhappy with who they ended up getting, but I just look at tight ends, and Benjamin, you can speak to me about this, man. Why is it that tight ends, these studs that took over in college, they're getting into the NFL and they're making that transition rather quickly? Tyler Warren had 76 yards last week. Brock Bowers last year was good. Trey McBride's already one of the top tight ends in the league. Why is it we're seeing these tight ends that were awesome in college quickly come in and perform well in the NFL as soon as like their first season?
A lot of that has to do with modern spacing concepts in the NFL. You know, the tight end's going to be involved in the quick game. If you can block, you're a willing blocker, and if you're able to get in and out of your breaks pretty quick, you can be involved in the quick game, and you don't have to learn a lot of the complicated stuff that's going on downfield, route combos, things like that. Plus, these days tight ends they tend to get more and more athletic, and so you tend to get the guys that are too big for a corner to cover and too fast for a linebacker to cover. It just creates a natural mismatch where, some of these receivers on the outside, maybe you're just receivers only, and, they've got athletes that can keep up with them with some of the corners. So there's some aspects of it, I think, that are built-in advantages for some of these guys. And Warren, certainly looked good in week one. Vance Joseph defenses have struggled a little against the tight end over the years, and there might be a little mismatch there.
Benjamin Albright joining us, host of Broncos Country Tonight. All right, so how do you, when you look at this game, all that being said about some of these weapons with the Colts, Broncos, we know what they did defensively last week. We know what they did last year. How do you think this one's going down on the defensive side for the Broncos? Will we see more of the same, more domination from this unit?
I think so. I think this game is going to wind up being a little closer than people think. But I think part of that is just continuing to get the offense on track. But I'm looking at like a 23-20 type game. I think the defense can continue to put the clamps down on teams, even on the road. The one thing I'm concerned about, the only thing I think I'm really concerned about in this game, we saw what Jonathan Taylor can do a little bit, is that Tyler Warren potential mismatch there with the linebacking core of the Broncos is as dinged up as it is.
Yeah, Dre Greenlaw, is he, I'm assuming, nothing has changed much, but I'm expecting he's out this weekend?
Yeah, he's not officially been declared out, but he's out. Alex Singleton broke his thumb again, this time in a different spot than he did the last time. He's going to be wearing a cast. So Justin Sternad is going to be expected to step up in a lot of that. And not that he didn't acquit himself well, last week and when he's been out there, but he's also a guy who has a litany of injuries over his career that has derailed him. So the Broncos linebacking core, the inside linebacking core, a little perilously thin at this point. And, anytime you're up against somebody like a Tyler Warren, that can be an eyebrow raiser. Now, what I will say is that the Broncos are very deep at the defensive back position. You got a guy like Jahdae Barron. You've got four or five safeties there that can play. So you may see a situation where you're playing three safety looks or dime looks just to cover Warren up and give those linebackers a break.
Benjamin Albright joining us. On the offensive side, to simplify it, is it as simple as just Sean Payton just commit to running the football?
Well, I mean, there is an element of that, sure. You know, Sean Payton has struggled to do that throughout his career. His best seasons, the Super Bowl seasons, were years that he did commit to running the ball. But, you know, he struggled to remember that at times throughout the years. He wants to throw the ball. He's a former quarterback, and you know how it is. You get excited when you get your guy out there. You want to see him throwing the ball over the yard, too. You know, you made an investment in this run game this offseason by going out and signing J.K. Dobbins and drafting R.J. Harvey. And to me, it feels like you need to lean into that a little bit. They didn't do that as much against Tennessee. Part of that may have been that front five for Tennessee is just so beefy. I mean, you got a 366-pound nose tackle. Their defensive ends are the same size as our nose tackle. In fact, they're bigger. You know, their defensive ends were 315. Our nose is 310. You know, and then they've got guys on the edge like Arden Key and Draymond Jones. Draymond Jones is a defensive tackle for us, and he plays like the Nick Benito position for them. So, you know, it was just difficult to run into that. They had a little bit of problems with Wattenberg and Ben Powers being effective. And so I believe they need to make a commitment to it, but there are other factors involved.
Well, Benjamin, sounds great, my friend. So you're kind of liking a 23-20 win for the Broncos this weekend?
Yeah, that's I think what I came down on. I had to submit my prediction to our producer a couple hours ago, and I think I put 23-20 in there.
I got a little breaking news here on the whole show. Thank you for that, my friend. And we will do our best to try to call you on Fridays like we're supposed to. I don't know what's going to happen, though. You could get a call Saturday night at midnight, man. I don't know. You just got to be ready.
Hey, look, anytime Brady Hull wants to talk ball, I'm there.
Benjamin, appreciate you, my man, and always great stuff. And again, thank you for your coverage on the news side and the sports side this week. Appreciate it, man.
Absolutely, brother. Take care.
All right, Benjamin Albright, host of Broncos Country tonight. He likes the Broncos 23-20, Michael. That's a Broncos dub. That's 2-0. That's also covering the spread. So there you go. Take that how you would like to take it.
And I would also put peanut butter all over that spread.
48 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break and pretend that didn't happen. The whole show powered by Chevron on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
From preps to college to the pros, we have your football on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.